Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And also join us on the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Now, the following program has been pre-recorded in front of a live audience, so please forgive the occasional sound fluctuation. And now, here's David.
What a tremendous relationship there is between our physical existence on this planet with the planet itself. There is truly a relationship going on between our being in these bodies and being in this dimension with the planet. A lot of people believe that it is from this grid of energy lines that embodies the planet that the actual physical planet itself emerged. So the energy is the energetic skeleton of the planet. Therefore, it could be the prototype. So a change in the energy body is eventually going to change the physical, just as we know that our physical bodies is changed by what happens in our etheric body. So this is really a tremendous time. And that is the thing that is so beautiful about what we're offered, being offered, is when we were singing that song a while ago about having fun. Part of that didn't feel good to me because I don't see this in the sense of a fun time, because to me it's an extremely important and somewhat serious time. But at the same time, to be able to understand the process, to be able to see through the appearance of change from fear, but to connect with this in love and expectation and realize that this, you're not a victim to this change, but this change is happening because of your participation. Because the way this change goes, the acceleration of this change is all connected somehow to our own consciousness, our own thinking. I recently took my mother to a kind of an interesting type of a doctor up near Chicago last week, and I'd been to him years ago when he was in Iowa. And it's one of those places you go and they take a little bit of your blood and they put your blood on a screen and you literally get to see your own blood, which I think is the wave of the future. I think that people are certainly going to be more diagnosed from being able to understand the blood. So much here. I get into this and I get in such a vast area that I don't know which direction or what I'm going to put together here. But I believe that. And you that have heard the tapes know that I talk about the fact that I really challenge the whole idea of the blood thing with Christ as has become somewhat distorted down through the years of religious perception. Hi, Carol. And in understanding some of the Essene teachings and putting Jesus into the best context that we can put him in historically, we find out that really he was a great teacher about the blood. And I think that's sad if we're missing this whole thing. If it's come all the way from Jesus was an Essene, and the Essene were the strange healers of their day, the sect that understood process, technique. And somehow that all got edited out by the time we get into the forming of Judeo-Christianity. All of a sudden the story has become so changed and so distorted that it becomes in the sacrifice of his blood that we find the way to heaven, the way to God. But when we come back to some of the information that was smuggled out of the Vatican in the 1800s and has been made available to us in the early 1900s, such as the Essene Gospels, we begin to see a whole different Jesus. He's not the Jesus of the King James Bible at all. He's not the magical Jesus running around doing miracles and just healing people and raising the dead. He was a great teacher of process, technique. He was a real how-to kind of guy. He was an empowering teacher. He taught people how to live in optimum health and peace on this earth, and to enter into real relationship that is a functional family relationship. I like that. Functional family. Between our mother and our father. And I still say, and I keep telling people, that I really see time things get out here to where we can process it through the sensory perception. It's come from a long way before it got here. Time it gets here, it is something that has been happening down through the different vibrations. This is kind of where it ends up. This is kind of where it's all, how do I say this? It's almost like where it's all of the good and the bad is thrown. It really is. And that's why we have a world of such wonderful things and such not so wonderful things. You know, we have a place of life, we have a place of death, we have a place of sickness, we have a place of health. I mean, there's the possibility of this duality is so manifested at this dimension of perception, but it's an effect. This is all in a world of effects. And because we've not really been taught to live in the dimensions of cause, we haven't done much to change the effect of things. And don't you think that comes from the idea of separation from God, who is first cause of everything? And we have not found our own spiritual genetics that we've inherited. I mean, you know, what I see so much living with my mother now, how much genetically I've inherited through the genetic of my parents. I mean, when you're with them on a daily basis, you go, oh my God. I mean, at some point you don't know where you start and they begin. Well, that's spiritual too. You know, first is the natural, but the spiritual. But spiritually, what has been extended? What have we inherited of our spiritual genetics? What is our spiritual abilities that we've inherited from a spiritual father? And I think because we've not been allowed to activate those genetics, that we have not they've not been mirrored to us. See, this is why a lot of times stuff that's in your natural biological ancestry and genetic pool comes forward is because it is modeled to you. I mean, it's not just, how do I say that? I don't believe things just always just pop up out of nowhere all the time. I think a lot of time, like attracts like, or deep calls into deep. And I think when a certain thing that you have a disposition toward is modeled to you, it awakens it in you. But where's our spiritual prototype? I know where my physical genetic prototype is, the environment, the terrain that I've lived in, but I've not been given a spiritual sanctuary. I'm not given a spiritual prototype that has awakened my inner spiritual DNA, my inner spiritual genetics, my spiritual memory that has... does that make sense to you? I mean, I've not found it. I didn't find it in the church. I didn't find it in religion. I didn't find those who were awakening that I've gotten from my father. So I've not been really taught how to be in a functional family relationship in the sense of who I am spiritually to a spiritual father and who what I've come into as a spiritual creation into this physical human experience to walk out this experience with Mother Earth. And I really feel that maybe that's something that needs to even be reevaluated and rethought, that we don't get in an unbalance of spirituality and biological, physical, I think somewhere the answer may lie for us somewhere between them. You that have read the Essene Gospels, especially the Essene Gospel of Peace, Book 4, what intrigued me that I had felt and already had thought of inherently in myself was the fact of this relationship of our waking time being more our relationship with Mother, and our sleeping time being more in relationship with our Father. And Jesus teaches that in the Essene book. It's fascinating that why we sleep. Why is it important that there is maybe an absence? Sleep seems to be an absence more than a thing. Like night seems to be an absence of the sun hitting this side of the earth, or death is an absence of the life in the body, or maybe we could look at sleep as because a certain part of us goes into another dimension or realm to be with its own likeness. Maybe spirit, soul, whatever you call it, goes and is with other spirit, soul dimensions. When I'm awake, I don't live off of the spirit. I live off what Mother gives me. I will drink water. I will eat her food. I will breathe her air. I will walk in her magnetics and match it so I can stay on the planet. I'll have to stay very alert and very conscious of who I am in this body, living this human experience on this planet we call Earth or Gaia. But at night, maybe I don't have to. When I'm asleep, I don't need her water. I don't need her food. I go into some place of subtle intention. Somehow my body goes on total automatic. It knows how to digest. It knows how to circulate the blood. It doesn't need me to be conscious. It doesn't need my relationship with Mother Earth at that time. And that leads me, the real me, the spiritual me, the higher me, to go and do spiritual things and be with Father. And maybe that is where the functional relationship of family really lies, is in our ability to be all that we can be with our Mother and all that we can be with our Father. And maybe when there is not a balance in that, maybe there is some kind of manifestation of frustrations in our life, anxieties, feeling a lack or need, in which we interpret egoically as something else we need. Maybe there lies the tendency of addictions, habits, idiosyncrasies of life. I mean, you get my drift, what I'm saying. Maybe it is somehow. I'm just giving you possibilities. I am not speaking to you in any. I want to make that clear. I make that clear that these are possibilities, and they don't become your truth until they become your truth. We just listen to each other's possibilities. We read a book, it's somebody's possibilities. We see a tape or listen to a tape, it's other people's possibilities. And that's okay. Doesn't mean right at that moment we've got to start figuring out, is this true, is this not true? It's just possibilities until they somehow click in and we feel like it's our truth at that time. But that's what he taught. He taught how to cleanse the body, how to cleanse the blood, how to use gourds in those days, 2,000 years ago, to clean out our own colons. I go monthly for colon irrigation therapy. I'm a great believer that a lot of diseases, some say even death itself, begins in the colon. Right now, I'm in a good time, though. I've been eating pretty good. I've lost some weight. I'm not eating sweets. I'm not eating things. And I listened to my inherent intelligence and felt a week ago that I should go take a colon. I go by total intuition. I don't have any set time. And, of course, that logical part of my mind says, you don't need to go. You've been eating good. There's probably nothing there. You're not really eating anything. And I had tremendous results, more than I've ever had, and I was shocked at what was coming through and what was coming out of me. And I'll move on from that subject, but it's a part of our real natural self. But I love the idea of seeing Jesus more as this great teacher of technique, of way. And I've shared with you how in the Aramaic, which by the way, the Essene Gospels are directly translated out of the Aramaic language, which the Essenes spoke. They did not speak Hebrew. I mean, they were an interesting sect of people. They really were seen by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other sects of Jesus' time as the probably New Agers of the day. I mean, they really was the people that was a little off the wall a little bit. But they were the healers. They taught people how to heal, how to use energy, how to go and wrap their arms around a tree. Literally, how to put all of the chakras of the body against a tree 2,000 years ago, and how the lining up of that, giving a receiving and a giving, would circulate energy. And I mean, it was so powerful. Stuff that we're just kind of dabbling into right now and wading out in and feeling out. It's taught thousands of years ago by this very unique Essene community.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Holtz.
It's very, very fascinating, very interesting stuff. It's certainly worth processing it through your inherent intelligence center to give us a different picture, shifting us from a magical Jesus who worked magic to a Jesus of process, method. I've taught in the Aramaic of when they said, come and teach us to pray, and also when he said, whatever you pray in my name, the Father shall give it to you, has nothing to do with saying in the name of Jesus, but literally came from the Aramaic language of the word bishmi, which means whatever you ask in my name, name being bishmi, which means technique, way. How you do things by using my techniques is the way your prayers shall be answered. You have to align yourself with divine design, the pattern. I sometimes still wish that I was, you know, ignorance is bliss sometimes, but it always sounded easier to me just to go and have somebody lay hands and pray for you and it'd be done and just say in the name of Jesus. But I feel that's not what is happening at this particular time. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. The point is we have these, it's about energy. It's just about energy. Great book, by the way. I stole this from Donna. I went to her house and she had this book and I said, mine. But she's used to that. She's used to realizing she's buying books for me. And this book has been so good I mean, this gives you a tremendous broad spectrum of understanding so much about so many different things in one book. Written by William Collinge, C-O-L-L-I-N-G-E, Ph.D. C-O-L-L-I-N-G-E, William Collinge. It's well written. It's good. It's just a good book. But there's a part in here on, it's called Subtle Energy, so it is constantly, it is totally about energy. So let's talk about energy for a little bit, and let's just deal with a few things that I've pulled out from this study and from this reading. And let's go through some simple things first that will be not new to some of you, maybe new to some of you, but let's talk about, first of all, why, does anybody know why, where we got the name Gaia from? Does anybody happen to know who started that and why the Earth has been given that name Gaia? It's a Greek term, I believe. It was named that by an anthropologist, Hagens, H-A-G-E-N-S, who was a teacher and lecturer out of Union Institute Graduate School in Cincinnati. And really, he referred to the rings of Gaia. And that's where it caught on some years back, that Gaia was known for its rings of energy, its hoops of energy that move through it, its energetic etheric cocoon in which it is engulfed inside physically. And I wanted to share, first of all, you know, we talk about the last little book I wrote was From the Head to the Heart, and the importance of energy at the head. And I thought I'd just give this to you if you're interested. The heart pulsates or moves energetically at 2.5 watts per beat. The amplitude of the heart is 50 times greater than that of the brain. The amplitude. The magnetic field of the heart versus the brain is, get this, 1,000 times stronger than the brain. And I wanted to say that because I don't want this to become a thing, okay, let's all take a breath or two, let's all go into the heart. You know, it just becomes another saying, another thing to do, another technique that we can do almost without being conscious of. And we don't want to do that. I don't want to see meditation. I don't want to see this become another religious duty or ritual without heart, without spirit, without substance, without consciousness. We can't afford to do anything without consciousness anymore. We just can't afford it. We can't afford to just get into routines and patterns and habits. But we have to stay alert and awake and with it. We're in it. So I think that gives us a little reason why it's important that we get out of the brain, how we get out of the head, and we get into the heart. And the heart is 1,000 times more energetic, more pulsating than what it takes to think we think from the brain. And I think that's one of the great illusions of the physical brain, is that we just somehow think we think. Most of the times it is just memory stored in the neurons of other people's thoughts and concepts and ideas that fires in our brain, giving us an illusion that we're thinkers and we can't even turn off our thoughts. I'm telling you, when a real thought comes through, it can't even leave you the same. When thought of self, when thought of the higher self, when thought of the whole self comes through, it's so impregnated with creativeness and potential that in certain times that are right, hear what I'm saying, in certain times that are right, having a real thought, having reality think through you as you, is like making love. It's that intimate. And not every time the two people make love do they conceive, but there are those times. It's not that every thought conceives that comes up out of the essence of who and what I am. It's a wonderful experience. But there are the times in which, and it's called the mystery. It really is the mystery. It's the mystery of why a man and woman came together at that particular time and conception took place, when they have made love many, many times, for years trying to get pregnant, and there just happens to be that time that it happens, the it of the triunity of God, the he, she, it that I've talked to you about. That's the it to me. The it is that unexplainable, mysterious cycle, and everything somehow, the terrain is right, the environment is right, the psychology is right, the bodies are right, the whole thing is so right that it has to be more than a temporal passing lovemaking experience that fades off into the future, but it's conception. What is conception? Conception is what captures the present moment. Got it. It is here. It is here, and it doesn't fade away. The process, it has begun. And you have to carry it through. You have to birth it. You have to have relationship with it. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, that's a powerful spiritual thing to me, to think of it in those terms, to think of capturing eternity, capturing life, the vibration of life, just not moving through you, but capturing it in your present, carrying it even at the cellular level. It's more than a revelation. It's more than a chills up your spine. It's more than a surge of spirit. It's here. It's now. It's everything come together. That's conception. And this is what can happen in the heart, is conception of the heart. Jesus said it's out of the heart comes the issues of life. The issues of life. And remember me sharing on the tapes, and I've shared to you, I had to repeat things because you all mostly get the tapes. But how that our own children are referred to that in the legal system. At the time of divorce between a man and woman, your children are legally written as the issues of your life. That is the issues of the marriage, is your children. And think of that as Jesus saying, from your heart come your children of life. Out of your head can come a lot of sensory experiences. There can be euphoria. There can be even orgasmic experiences, but there's just not anything produced. There's just not anything that is captured. It is an ongoing, endless path that seems right, but just ends up in death. Do you hear what I'm saying? You never get it. You never get it. And that's what we're looking for. We're all looking for it. We're not looking for an object, a thing, an absolute. We all want to hold it. It being the mystery. It being the unexplainable. It being that transcends the name of all names. The this and the that of life, the objective world. Are you with me? I want you to feel me as much as intellectually hear me. I really think that's all we're looking for. Because everything that we have gotten, and I've known some of us a lot of years, every time we get a new thing intellectually through information or knowledge, it's never been it, has it? Have you ever just wanted to just stop and say, this is what I'm looking for? Oh, no. I mean, you hardly fulfill that till something new is shoved at you. A new book, a new concept, a new speaker, or a new something. But you was off to, running to and fro. And hope you hear me, but it's that it that we want to capture. It's that something at conception that held. So the heart gives us a whole different terrain, a whole different environment, a whole different vibration, a whole different place in which we can experience it, the its of our life, the issues of our life, the children of our life, the manifestations of our life, the objectifying of our own inner Christ consciousness made flash and dwell among us. Sometimes I think we really need more deep spiritual intimate instruction in how to make love this way. But I find it so unreceived almost in this Western culture. You know, we still, as I said last night, giggle at the mention of breasts or the mention of body parts, like, you know, there's something secret and only a few have them, or, you know what I'm saying? Like it's something so beyond what we want to talk about. But if we could bring it above the waist into an intimacy that maybe some of you in this room have never even found physically yet. I think there's people who live a lifetime, or lifetimes, without really finding what it's all about to physically enjoy their sexuality and make love. And at least I sense that. I don't know that. I mean, I've had some people that was willing to talk about that to me and say, I don't quite know what it's all about. It's still not happened. And I'll say, what hasn't happened? I don't know what it is, but it hasn't happened. And bless you that have and have found that aspect. But it's not all over because you haven't. It doesn't mean that you can't find it of the heart. And I have a suspicion that it's so much greater than what happens being processed through the neurological system, through the brain, and through the perceptions that we're taught of what it's supposed to be like when two people have sex or make love. And there's a difference, I know that. And still, there isn't that connection made that is in any way fulfilling at that level. Okay, I won't stay with that. But I'm just talking about the intensity of the heart is so much greater than how we process it through the brain. We can do things with the brain to manipulate the brain into different levels of energy that can help us. And it's a way of descent. You that was here last night, we talked about the good news of the gospel is really not the gospel of ascent, but descent. It's a way of reaching perfection by selling all that we have. It's about getting rid of. It's not about attaining. So the best way that we can use our biological brain sometimes is the way of descent, by lowering, not attaining or raising, the vibration of the brain waves, but to lower them. Our most mundane state of everyday living is the beta state. That's the state that we're the most supposedly alert, awake state in the sense of the world, in which things kind of move around between 15 and 38 vibrations. Then we have learned how to still and focus. When you focus on something, you change the beta state into an alpha state, which brings the brain waves at around between 8 and 10. If we really relax, go within, meditation, we go into theta, which is 4 to 7. We're really descending. You know, the Son of Man must descend, is the message. If we go into sleep, sometimes in meditation, people drop off. Can we get a witness? All right. But that's all right. You know, you're not missed. Things are not being missed. But that's delta. And we go into something between 0.25 and 3. Between that area. I mean, we're really, the brainwave is in that area. So the most alert is beta. It's alert. If we focus on something, we tend to move into alpha. If we go into trance or meditation, which is a very receptive state, we move into theta. And if we go to sleep or trance state, we're in delta. So we can learn how to descend the brain into lower states of vibration and then emerge into the heart area, which is of a higher pulse, a higher vibration that brings us to be in tune with our higher aspect, our higher atmosphere of ourselves. So it's all paradoxical, as I said last night. I just see everything is to get higher, you got to go lower. It's just important. The more lower that your physical brain works, the higher you're connected into the vibration of your higher or true self. One of the things I found interesting is, and I've been mentioning a lot, that I do think some of our answer of empowerment right now to deal with the changes and transformations that we're going to is not in really new thought or new age or new anything, but it's in the restoration of a lot of old things, which is being perceived as new thought, new age. But there's really nothing new about some of the things that are going on in the name of these things. Sweat lodges is not new age. A lot of the Native American ceremonies that people are doing feel new, but they're very old traditions. Study the Mayan calendar, the calendars of Egypt, the pyramids. Most of you will find it in the New Age section of Borders Bookstore. These are not new, but they are a part of what's happening at the end of this age called the restoration of all things. It says that must happen before we can actually enter into a new world, into a new age, into a new place. There has to be the fulfillment and restoration of everything that has been edited out, everything that has been hidden, everything that has been taken away from the cultures, from the inhabitants of the planet, is going to be restored back. Many of these old texts and old civilizations and older cultures were very visionary because they've lived closer to higher magnetic times. Probably there was clear visionary, clear prophets. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1500 years ago, definitely 2000 years ago, 5000 years ago, Buddha, Jesus, all lived in much higher times of magnetics on this planet than you're living in.
We'll be back with more of today's program on science, sound, and spirituality after this word from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops, or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now back to today's program on science, sound, and spirituality with David Holtz.
It's really getting harder and harder to get a true, clear spiritual vision today. That's why we have moved in some. He's not going to like this, but this is why we have moved more and settled for the psychic realm rather than the true purity of the psychic realm called the spiritual realm. Again, this is my take, my information. I take responsibility for it. Psychic is and can be, they can hit a lot of things, they can miss a lot. It's a very mixed bag. And you all know that as well as I do. You've been to good psychics, you've been to some that absolutely didn't hit a thing. And you know it, it resonates. Because there's nobody can tell you anything about yourself that you don't already know at some level. So there is a witness, there is a resonates. If it doesn't, then most likely so you just gave your money to somebody for whatever reason. And in that, there's no self-judgment or judgment. I mean, we made a choice. Learn to let things go like that. You know, one thing I dislike that kind of pushes my button that maybe I need to work on is people who always feel bad because of what they did. Or, you know, if you're going to do something financially, just do it and release it and let it go into the universe and realize that the energy of it didn't go anywhere. You know, my mother, bless her heart, she's just from that generation. People from that generation, a lot of times, there's always exceptions, but that lived through the Depression and things like that are very oriented toward money and saving and not losing and that type of thing. It's just an observation. Again, it's not a judgment, but when you make investments and you give somebody $1,000 to invest or what, you just have to let it go. It's going to do its thing or it's not going to do its thing, but you've never lost the energy of anything that you've given out of the purity of your heart and with the right motive. So there's never it's such a ripoff to go around and regret what I did and I shouldn't have and how stupid I was to do that. Now I've lost this and I've lost that. If we live in more an energetic perception of life, if we're more attached with the energy of life, we realize that things don't happen that seem to happen in the objective world. That makes sense to you? It's a whole different ballgame to what's happening in the energy of something rather than happening to it objectively, literally, as a thing. And I still say it's, you know, money doesn't really draw money, but the money seen as energy can draw energy back that manifests as money. It's an energy thing, I'm telling you. And it's going to take probably a few more years or a decade or two before we're fully into this as a norm, but it is definitely coming. It is definitely coming that we will see things more from an energetic perception than we do from such a frozen. I mean, I knew that was going to happen when I started understanding and reading Einstein and David Bohm's stuff and all of this quantum theory. I knew this is not going to be easy to catch on to as a norm, but it will come. It's here. It's penetrated. The conception has taken place. The baby will be born, and we will be able to have a different point of view of ourselves and of matter and of the physical, biological manifestation of things will no longer just be seen like we see them. But once we really do see and discern electrons and neutrons and spaces of potential and it'll be nothing to go walk through a wall. Once you realize that the brain is just editing out all of that potential in space that those few little particles are roaming around in, Jesus didn't do anything so magical. He was just very quantum. He was very quantum. He just saw things from a subatomic level. You know? I mean, I look at clouds and they look so solid, but the plane just goes right through them. But if I went by what it looked like, I wouldn't probably, you know, attempt to do that because they look very solid up there. But when you get up there, you just see they're not. But there's a whole lot of space between that's the solidity of that perception, that it's a lot of space in there for that plane to go through. It's nothing, just nothing. And just imagine looking at the walls of this building in the same way as seeing them as that they're originally clouds of probability. That I'm looking at this wall, making it solid because I am making that, out of that cloud of probability pops up this particle called an electron. If nobody was observing it, would it be just a cloud of probability? And that's the theory of the quantum theory, that a wave doesn't become a particle until it's observed to be that. Now, that doesn't mean because we'd all walk out of here, the wall wouldn't be there, because you've got to understand there's a collective consciousness going on in the planet that holds things collectively. So we're not going to actually see things dissolve and change of themselves at the molecular structure until there is tremendous critical mass of the collective consciousness that is seeing things from a whole different reality. That help you? Because I know that's the thing of the ego belief system is, oh, I can't believe that, you know. It doesn't matter whether I'm here or not, there's still a solid chair that is there. But is it being held in the collective consciousness of things, not just my own individual? But it does begin with the individual, right? That's the great task. That's the great challenge of all of us here who are trying to teach, minister, whatever you want to call it, share the light of the truth, is that you just have to take it one by one. Having a shift. Individuals having a shift. Individuals having a shift. Individuals having a shift. Individuals staying in the shift and not shifting back to need a shift. Am I making any sense to you here? Just kind of taking it easy here, kind of slow with you. So we lower the brain, we connect more into the higher vibration of our higher atmosphere of ourself. The Lakota Indians, the Native Americans, we should call them. I do my best to be politically correct and culturally correct. It's not always gender correct. I tell you, there's so much, sometimes you get so bogged down with it, you just have to be a little lighter with it. I do think Native American is more correct than Indians, but the Lakota tribe represented the earth in 15 hoops. Very interesting. Which also goes with Plato's idea of, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, it's such an interesting word, hexacus icosahedron. Icosahedron, which is just, okay, it's a geometric figure based on 15 circles of equal size intersecting 62 times and forming 120 identical right angles on its surface. Plato, of course, got his teachings of that from the Egyptian teachings. And all I'm trying to do here, don't get bogged down with all that, I'm just trying to show you how things have connected and been brought down through the cultures and through the teachings that, again, are not so new. I think it's so arrogant of us in Western culture to think that we are the true pioneers of technology and of mathematics and geometry and these great things. I think that's will become absolutely absurd and obsolete at some level when we really recognize the cultures of our planet and stop this nonsense of who is uncivilized and civilized and who is educated and not educated, and you know what I'm saying. When we stop all of this perception of the way it is supposed to be, so that you are considered civilized and intelligent, is certainly being challenged today as to where and what is intelligence in the first place. Is intelligence found in the universities of the Western universities and colleges, or is it more in our intuitiveness and our ability to remember, to feel, to connect? I personally think that will become the most important thing in time of shift. If there's earth changes, if there's all these things coming upon us that are supposed to come, trust me, you will be glad for your ability to connect inside to your higher intelligence, to your higher self, to that that is within you, whatever you call it. It will be much more important than getting out an old textbook and trying to look it up, you know, in your physics book or in your mathematics or geometry or whatever. It's there's different. There is sacred geometry versus secular geometry. There's a whole different way in which we look at these things. And I think it is by looking at it through energy. That's the thing that is missing in the Western sense of how we're educated in this world. So Plato got his geometry from the Egyptians, which of course, upon this idea, built the Great Pyramid of Giza. And the pyramid is supposed to be built on what they call the orienting ring, which is one of the five hoops that goes north and south in our planet this way, with five rings. Now, if you add the poles, the north and south pole, to the five rings, you of course have seven rings that basically are the major. Now, we're not talking about the what we would call in the sense of chakras, the nadas. We're not talking about the intermediate ley lines and the serpent lines and so on and so forth. We're talking about the major lines would also align with our seven chakras of the body, from the north pole to the south pole, and in between we have seven. So does the planet have its own chakra system? Becomes the question here. Interesting. The pyramid actually sets on the ring that has been a mystery to geologists, but is energetically seen as the center of the Earth's continental landmass. So see, by looking at things and trying to study it just in the physical, in this one dimension, leaves so many unanswered questions, so many mysteries. But are the mysteries being understood by more energetic way of looking at things? Then things are not as mysterious as to why they're where they are. But they're there because inherently, we tend to follow the electromagnetic or geomagnetic lines of our planet. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you remember a few months ago, where the whales were being beached up somewhere in California, in the south part of California, and they put them back out, and they came right up on the beach again? Migratory beings on this planet, birds know where to go and how to fly because they follow the electromagnetic lines of the planet. This is what is inherent within them.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program and the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Until then, this is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.